Friends, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Isaiah 56, 1, 6 through 8. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, hold fast my covenant. These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted at my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel. I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. Matthew 15, 21 to 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the story of life for the people of God.
Beloved of God, would you join with me in prayer? Holy God, open our eyes, open our hearts, that we might see you, that we might feel you. Use my words, use all of our reflections and meditations, and when it's time, God, call us to action and embolden us to say yes. Alleluia and amen.
Amen.
Friends, if it is comfortable for you to do so, I invite you to close your eyes or to soften your gaze and to picture Jesus. Get a picture of Jesus in your head. Do you have it? What is Jesus doing? He's praying. He's looking sad. He's holding a baby.
He's surrounded by light.
He's surrounded by light.
Standing in strength.
He's standing in strength. He's surrounded by children.
He opens his arms to all people.
He opens his arms to all people. Okay, beloved, a second question. What color is Jesus' skin as you're picturing him?
It keeps changing.
It's dark. When you're ready, would you open your eyes? You kind of just preached the sermon for me again, just like the kids. That was beautiful. Friends, do you know what Jesus' skin color was? He was a Middle Eastern Jew. His skin color was likely somewhere between a brown olive and a dark brown, depending on how much time he had spent in the sun recently. How many of us picture him that way, if we're being honest? How many of you have seen a picture of Jesus with white skin? Yeah. Starting as early as the 6th century, Byzantine images of Jesus started to have white skin and a beard and hair parted down the middle. Why do you think so many of us picture Jesus white? Why do you think we have so many white images of a Middle Eastern man? Because we're white. To comfort us. Psychology, thank you, Deantha, would say that it's more comfortable for us to picture a white savior. It's more comfortable for us who are white and for our white predecessors to follow a savior with our same skin tone, to see ourselves echoed in the body of Emmanuel, God with us. Who can cite a scripture passage where Jesus talks about being comfortable? I cannot. Jesus really doesn't preach much about how to be comfortable. Friends, our gospel is not really about being comfortable. To soften the gospel to be more comfortable, to follow a white Jesus, or as has been done in this past week, to use Christianity to promote supremacy of any kind, white supremacy in particular, and to whitewash Christ and use him or the cross as a symbol of racist hate, that is to completely and violently misappropriate Jesus, Christianity, and the basic values and theology of our faith and our God. Amen?
Amen.
Ours is not a white Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Ours is not a comfortable faith. Amen?
Amen.
And supremacy is completely antithetical to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our lectionary text this morning from the Gospel according to Matthew is a spirit-timed example of the discomfort and the charge in our gospel. In this text that Leslie just read, Jesus is in Gentile territory, and he meets a Canaanite woman. You've heard the phrase Canaanite before, but Canaanite wasn't a people that existed in the first century. At that time, when Matthew uses that phrase, it was an old ethnic term already, a term for Israel's former pagan enemy. It's an antiquated term. In the Gospel of Mark, when this story is told, the woman is simply called the Syrophoenician woman. But here in Matthew uses an old ethnic term to describe her. She is other. She is the ethnic group of the former enemy. He makes that clear. And she turns to Jesus for healing for her daughter. And Jesus says, first Jesus says nothing. And the disciples urge him to shoo her away. And she persists, and then Jesus says, it's not fair to take the children's food and give it to the dogs. Dogs was a term used for Gentiles or opponents. It was not complimentary. In other words, Jesus says, I came here to serve the Israelite people. It's not fair to take the energy, love, and healing meant for them, for the children of Israel, and give it to the Gentiles, the Canaanite people, the dogs, instead. In simpler words, still, what Jesus says here is, your ethnic background makes you other and puts you outside of the circle of people I care for, serve, and heal. Does it make you uncomfortable that our Savior would say that? Could it be that our human tendency to other one another runs so deep that it infected even our Savior in his full humanity as he took on flesh and lived among us? There are lots of interpretations of this text because the most uncomfortable texts get lots of interpretations, people trying to explain how this could be. Some say that Jesus is giving an object lesson here. He's saying something he knows is wrong to invite someone to correct him. Like when I said to the children, God loves you more than God loves them, a teaching tool. Others say this is a test for the Canaanite woman, a test for the disciples. Will the woman be brave and fierce enough to announce her own worth before Jesus and the disciples? Others say we see here, for once, the most human side of Jesus. So human that Jesus makes a mistake and that Jesus learns. This text, in that interpretation, is included in our gospel, then why? Perhaps to show all of us what it is to make a mistake, what it is to be changed by encounter, what it is to be healed. The Canaanite woman does persist, and she corrects him using his own metaphor. She says, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus wakes up. This is not the kingdom of God he is called to invite us to. Jesus' understanding of the kingdom is expanded. And so he says, let it be done for you as you wish. And her own faith heals her. Her own persistence heals not only her daughter, it heals Jesus too. As I read this text this week, in this historical moment, sometimes the Spirit is moving, friends. This was our lectionary text. They did not pick this text for this week. As I hear this text in this moment, living in Maine, I cannot stop praying, Jesus, send us the persistent women who will heal us too. Because as I read this text where Jesus says, you are not my people, I hear the chorus of well-meaning Mainers saying, white supremacy is evil, but as a mostly white state, we don't have racism here. This is a big problem, but it's not ours. This is not about our people. Have any of you heard that argument from a Mainer or from anyone living in a white state or a white community? Friends, time to wake up. This is not the kingdom of God. We are called to more than this. White supremacy anywhere in our country or our world is our problem, especially for those of us who are white people, especially for those of us who are white Christians. And we don't have to drive to Virginia to find hate and racism active. There are 22 states in the U.S. where the Ku Klux Klan is active. Maine is one of them. And we have important history with the Ku Klux Klan. Do you know that the first ever daytime KKK march happened here in Milo, Maine, in 1923? I'm sorry?
Farnsworth was the KKK pink clack, whatever they
call it. Farnsworth?
Farnsworth, the man.
Is Maine?
Yeah.
A town? Oh, he was the organizer. Thank you. He was the organizer. Farnsworth. Thank you, Dick. Yes. And he organized this first ever KKK daytime march in Milo, Maine in 23. Later in August, he organized a rally in Portland. 10,000 people attended. By 1924, the KKK in Maine had swelled to 40,000 members. They bought an estate in Portland. They built a theater for 4,000 seats. They had a dining hall that sat 1,600 people. This is our history. As recently as 1987, there was a Klan rally in Rumford, Maine. In 1988, there was a march in South Portland. In our nearby Bethel in 1982, do any of you remember this? There was a cross burning. The Southern Poverty Law Center, an organization that tracks hate groups, says that KKK membership is on the rise in the U.S. Our own newspapers have reported flyers and pamphlets and leaflets being distributed since January in at least 6 towns in Maine. Some reports say even more than that have happened this past week. Since I moved to Bridgeton 11 months ago, I've seen Confederate flags flown on the backs of trucks. I've heard racist slurs used in our town, and I've learned from people of color visiting Bridgeton that they were followed at Rennie's, they were made to wait at Applebee's, and they were spoken to disrespectfully at a local establishment here in town. Last winter, do any of you remember this? Heidi Fillmore wrote an editorial in the Bridgeton News reporting that several black midwifery students here at the midwifery school had decided to stop attending the midwifery school because they did not feel comfortable in our town. They did not feel safe, excuse me, in our town. Safe is different than comfortable. They did not feel safe in our town. I would like to stop here because it's easier to point fingers at them than it is to look at ourselves in the mirror, but what of ourselves? What of our own white privilege? What of our own unconscious bias? Friends, we who are white need to be aware, even if it's for the first time, that we are seated at a table where others are not welcomed, or where others do not feel welcomed, which might as well be the same thing. And there are children of God being forced to kneel beneath the table and gather crumbs, and they are crying out to be healed from all this. Beloved of God, time to wake up. This is not the kingdom of God. We are called to more than this. The good news, beloved of God, is that we were made for this work. We are a people who believe that the light was born into the darkness. Do you know the next phrase? And the darkness did not overcome it. We are a people who know what to do when the darkness threatens again. We hold a light up to it. Do you recognize the candles that you were handed out when you came into worship today? When have you seen these candles before? Christmas. These are the candles that we pass out on Christmas Eve. You held these candles this past December, and you sang, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace." You held on that evening in your hand a bit of the Christ light, and you believed, if only for a moment, that miracles happen. You believed that love changes the world. You believed that the light you hold can fill a room, can fill your spirit, can do the impossible. Amen? Friends, we need to believe it again. Our world needs to believe it again. And so, as we do on Christmas Eve, in a moment, I will pass our hospitality team the light of Christ, and they will pass it to you, and you will pass it to each other until once again we have filled our room with light. And together we will sing "This Little Light of Mine." This is the song they sang in the church last Friday when the supremacists surrounded a worship service with torches. This is the song that clergy sang as they faced the white supremacists on Saturday, linked arms and faced them with their song. As we sing this song and as you hold your light, I invite you to meditate on how you will use your light to stand up to hate and to speak for love in the world. How will you use it? Will you pray? Will you learn? Will you read books about race and privilege? I have a recommendation of 19 books. I'll email you on Thursday. Will you host a community conversation? In 1924, when the KKK was at 40,000 members in Maine, do you know that our congregation hosted a conversation where a superintendent from New Jersey came and spoke about what the KKK had done in his town? That happened here. Will we follow that legacy and do it again? Will we show up in other ways? Noah and I are going to try to make it to a rally at Payson Park today in Portland at 12:30. It's an Oppose White Supremacy, Come Together for Racial Justice rally saying racism has no place in Maine. Come join us at Payson Park. Or maybe Bridgeton needs our own rally. As I pass you the light of Christ this morning, as we lift our voices in song, I invite you to finish the sermon with me. I invite you to worship the light that comes into the darkness that the darkness does not overcome. I invite you to believe in miracles. I invite you to hold the light in your hand and trust that there is light within you, that if lifted in song, if lifted in action, will change the world. I invite you to commit yourself to the work of love in this world. Will the hospitality team come forward so we can share the light? Friends, would you raise your candles high and fill the room with light? And would you pray with me? Loving God, bless the light that surrounds us. Bless the light within us. As we blow out our candles, light a fire in our hearts. May we dare to carry this Christ light where it is most needed in the world. May we dare to be witnesses to your love everywhere we go. Amen.